Welcome. Today, we're diving deep into the world of Mark Twain, born Samuel Langhorne Clemens, of course.
Yes, a fascinating figure.
Our mission really is to unpack how his incredibly varied life shaped this, unique literary style he had, that mix of wit and deep social commentary.
And why it still hits home today,
yeah.
Right? Because what he did was pretty revolutionary for American literature.
How so?
Well, he essentially dragged it away from the, you know, the flowery romanticism that was common.
Okay.
And brought in realism, modernism, really. Using language that ordinary people actually used. Vernacular.
Made it accessible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He showed you could talk about profound truths in everyday language. Kind of democratized storytelling, in a way.
That's a great way to put it. And for this deep dive, we're drawing on, everything. His life story, the big novels, critical takes. Should be some surprises in here for you.
Mm-hmm.
So where do we start? Samuel Clemens, born 1835, Florida, Missouri. But they moved pretty quick to Hannibal.
Right on the Mississippi.
Which becomes the backdrop, doesn't it?
Absolutely central. But life wasn't easy. There were financial struggles.
Yeah, he had to leave school at, 11? To become a printer's apprentice.
Imagine that. But being around print, setting type, reading everything,
that
must have sparked something.
The love for words, yeah.
But the really key time, I think, was those 4 years as a riverboat pilot, 1857 to 61.
Ah, the river.
That's where he got so much material. The imagery, the dialects, the whole feel of his writing, and the name, of course.
Yes, Twain.
Comes straight from the river. A call meaning 2 fathoms, 12 feet. Safe water.
So his pen name itself is tied to that working class river experience?
Directly. Indelibly linked.
And it wasn't long after that 1865 that he really hit the big time nationally, right? With this celebrated Jumping Frog story.
That was the breakthrough. From there, the literary milestones started stacking up. Tom Sawyer in 76.
Capturing that sort of idyllic childhood, or seemingly idyllic.
Seemingly, yes.
Okay.
But then came Adventures of Huckleberry Finn a few years later, 84 or 85, depending on the edition.
Masterpiece.
Widely seen as such, yeah. And it goes so much deeper. You've got racism, morality, conscience, tough themes.
All set against the pre-Civil War South. And again, that language.
That innovative vernacular, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mississippi River itself, in Huck Finn, it evolves, doesn't it? It becomes this symbol of freedom, a kind of sanctuary.
But it's also the source of, ongoing debate. The racial depictions, the language used.
Absolutely. It's impossible to talk about Huck Finn without addressing that. It reflects its time, undeniably.
A difficult time.
Very difficult time. But it remains this critical touchstone for talking about race and identity in America today.
Mm-hmm.
It forces us to look at that complex history.
It's uncomfortable but necessary, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond the river books, his satire was just razor sharp. The Innocents Abroad, poking fun at tourists in Europe.
Hilarious, but cutting.
Or Life on the Mississippi, looking at industrialization. A Connecticut Yankee taking on monarchy and religion.
He wasn't afraid to critique power structures.
And he even coined the term the Gilded Age, right? To satirize all that post-Civil War corruption.
He did indeed. And you see his humor change over time, don't you?
Mm.
From maybe more cheerful early on.
Right.
To something much more pungent and sarcastic later. Think The Man That Corrupted Hadleyburg.
Yeah, that's darker.
It reflects, I think, a growing disillusionment. He used that biting wit, often with that famous deadpan delivery.
Almost understated.
Exactly, to just expose hypocrisy. He was a real pioneer of American realism.
So pulling it all together, he really was in many ways the conscience of a nation.
That's a good description.
Advocating for abolition, civil rights for African Americans, women's suffrage, even opposing American imperialism later on.
He used his platform. He wasn't just entertaining, he was challenging people, provoking thought, holding up that mirror.
So Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, this incredible blend of humor, realism, social commentary. It's easy to see why they call him the father of American literature.
The influence is undeniable. Think Hemingway, Faulkner. Faulkner called Huck Finn the best of all our books. High praise.
Wow.
And if you think about the core themes, individual conscience versus society, corruption, the struggle for justice, they're still so relevant.
They really haven't gone away.
No. His work keeps sparking debate, giving us insights into America's, very complex story. It continues to resonate.
Absolutely. And maybe to leave you, our listener, with a final thought from the man himself. Twain once quipped, "Honesty is the best policy when there is money in it."
Huh. classic Twain.
Right. So what does that cynical wit, coming from someone who critiqued his society so deeply, make you think about, well, the price of truth and integrity in our world today? Something to consider.